Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Well, if you're joining us online or on air, we want to welcome you to our Watoto Church service. And today is a special weekend where we get to focus on the work that we do in caring for community. Now, before we hear the message today, I'm really excited that our founders and team leaders, Pastors Gary and Marilyn Skinner, have a special message for us.
Well, welcome to Watoto Church Online. I know we're going to have a great service, and I'm glad that you decided to be a part of it. Welcome.
It was almost 37 years ago that Gary and I moved to Kampala to begin Watoto. And the last three decades has been a journey of faith. It's been a journey of miracles. God has been so good to us. We've seen tens of thousands of people transformed by the power of the good news, by the power of Jesus Christ. But we've also seen an entire nation transformed as those transformed lives went into their community with the culture and the character of Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, at Watoto, we love to say church is not an event you go to. It's a family you belong to. And today, we have a global family, a family all around the world. So we want to welcome you. If you've joined us today from Australia, from North America, South America, Europe, wherever you've joined us from, we are so glad that you are part of our family.
It's been an amazing 37 years. We've watched God do some terrific things as He's helped Watoto Church become the kind of church that He's called us to be. He's called us to reach out to the most vulnerable in our community and give them hope, to preach the gospel and transform their lives. And so we've been able to rescue over 5,000 little boys and girls who were orphaned as a result of tragedy in their lives. We've been able to go up to Gulu and reach out to that war-torn community and reach boys and girls who are forced to be child soldiers, help them regain their lives. We've gone up into Juba, South Sudan, into that war-torn nation, and we're a part of rebuilding that beautiful city and that nation. And of course, we're reaching out to the most vulnerable women in our community who are struggling to raise their children, so desperate. That's the kind of church God wants us to be. I'm glad you're a part of it.
But we could have never done that if it wasn't for our family of sponsors all around the world. And we want to thank you so much for your faithfulness. It's been challenging times that we've lived in these past few months with this global pandemic, but our sponsors have stuck with us. That's how we know that you're family. So on behalf of the thousands of children, the thousands of women, the communities that have been in distress, we want to say a heartfelt thank you so much.
We're continuing with our series today, Transforming Culture. Jesus said that we were to go into all the world and we were to make disciples of the nations, teaching them to obey everything that He commanded us. He wants us to transform nations by developing the culture and the character of Christ. And we're to live that out. And today we're going to talk about transforming culture by becoming a culture of compassion. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible, it's in John 11, verse 35. It simply says this: Jesus wept. Do you know why Jesus cried? Because He came to the home of His friend Lazarus, and Lazarus had died, and the family was going through trauma. And when Jesus saw their trauma, their pain, He wept. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of God. The Bible also tells us Jesus, when He saw the crowds, He was moved with compassion because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's Jesus. That's who He is. We sing a song at Watoto Church about the compassion of God. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's full of compassion. He's good to all. He's compassionate to all that He made. That's God. And whatever God is like, He wants us to be. And so today, we want to talk about that. Being moved by the plight of people around us, developing a culture of compassion that helps us also to be good to other people. I'm glad you decided to join us today. Welcome. We're going to have a great service. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Gary and Marilyn, for sharing those words of encouragement. It's always great to hear from you. We love you so, so much. Now, today is a very, very special weekend here at Watoto, where we get to celebrate what we do in caring for community. And I'm going to have a conversation with Eddie, and it's going to be awesome. By the way, Eddie and I went to the same high school.
That's right.
Went to the same faculty at university, Makerere University, and now we get to serve Jesus here at Watoto. It's such a joy to serve with you. Some exciting things happening here at Watoto, Eddie.
Yeah, absolutely. Last week, two of our choirs returned home from the USA and Brazil.
Yeah.
And it's such a joy to have our children back. Thank you all, family, for praying and giving towards our children.
That's right.
And talking about the children, this evening at 7 p.m., we are going to have a concert by our Watoto Children's Choir. Now, note this. It is pre-recorded, but it is anointed, and it's going to be on all our platforms, on Watoto Church Online, on our Facebook platform, but also you can watch this concert live at 7 p.m. on Family TV. You are going to be blessed. Tell somebody about it.
That's right. It's going to be powerful. So we are carrying on our series, Culture Transformation. And today we want to talk about a very important culture, and that is a culture of compassion. God is a God of compassion. You can see that all through the Bible. In fact, God required the children of Israel to be compassionate if they were going to be blessed. They were to take care of the foreigners who were living in their land. They were to take care of the orphans and the widows. And when they did that, God would bless them. Jesus, when he was on earth, he was moved with compassion when he saw people in suffering. He cared about them. Biblical compassion is actually love and mercy in action, where one steps out of their way so they can help another in a time of need. And we've all experienced compassion in one way or another, either from a friend or family member, relative. It could have even been your teacher or even a stranger. And you know how that act of compassion changed your life, either directly or indirectly. I think of my own story. My dad was orphaned at a very young age. But it took relatives that came alongside him to educate him, and today he's a professor. And I'm so thankful that he extended that compassion by raising us to be incredible children. And so we are so thankful for this gift of compassion in community. The unfortunate thing, Eddie, is that today, this culture of compassion is being eroded very slowly in community, in society. More and more people are self-centered and selfish. They don't want to care about other people. But we also see a number of people who are taking advantage of the vulnerable instead of caring for them. But we need to change this. We need to embrace genuine compassion, this culture of compassion, so we can build a healthy community. Because a culture of biblical compassion changes lives. And I want to read a story quickly, Eddie, and we're going to jump into it. It's a popular story found in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus gives a parable of the Good Samaritan. I'm going to read from verse 25. And here's what it says. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responded by asking him what is written in the law. And how do you read it? How do you interpret it? This teacher of the law answered and said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus replied and said, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But this expert in the law wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Very important question. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, When he came to the place and saw him, he also passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Then Jesus asked, "Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him, the one who exercised compassion." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." What an amazing story.
Yeah, that's a very powerful story. And Jules, you know, as we talk about culture transformation, in this story, I see Jesus changing the culture of the people in the day. Because the context of this story is so amazing. We must understand the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans. They never got along. They never loved each other. And here Jesus tells a story of a Samaritan who was an enemy to the Jew, who stepped across racial barriers and loved his enemy. Jesus was teaching the Jews then and is teaching all of us that we must respond to the pain of the people around us, no matter who they are. You know, it's very easy to care for the people that we love, but what about your enemy? In this place, Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter who that person is, friend or enemy, we must respond with compassion whenever anybody is in pain.
That's right.
Now, there are lots of things that we can learn from this amazing story. But the first thing is compassion responds to pain.
True.
You see, friends, pain is personal. Pain is real. And right now, you could be going through pain or you have just come out of pain. And the truth of life is we all experience pain because we live in a broken world. But what makes us go through the pains in this life is people around us who respond to us with compassion. You see, Jules, as a young man, I lost my parents at the age of 7 years, and I went from family to family, and I went through a painful experience as I was abused physically, verbally. But in the same season, there are people who came alongside me to take care of me. They saw my pain and responded with compassion, and they took care of me until when I was at university. And I am where I am today because God worked through people to respond with compassion to my pain. Because compassion is so important to alleviate the pains of the people around us. Compassion responds to pain.
Right.
And this is our story as Watoto Church. We say we care for community. And I'm reminded about how Watoto Child Care Ministry started in the 90s. Uganda in the 80s was hit by HIV/AIDS, and leaving lots of children who are parentless. They will be found on the streets begging for food to live. And God spoke to our team leaders, Gary and Marilyn, and he told them, "Take care of my children."
Right.
And God used many verses, but 2 verses are so critical to the work that we're doing to care for the vulnerable. And the first one is James 1:27 that says, "Religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." That's the first one. And the second one is this, is in Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. And it says, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. And God sets the lonely in families."
Wow.
Wow. God loves the orphan and the widow.
That's right.
And he uses his people to do this work of caring for them. And so far as Watoto, we have had the privilege of caring for over 5,000 boys and girls through childcare, but also we've gone alongside vulnerable women, about 5,000 women as well. And today I just want to brag about our Watoto family. Thank you so much for caring for the needy in the communities. You know, recently we have been hit by the COVID pandemic, right, and many church members have cared for church folk, but also members of the community, because compassion responds to the pain. And I want to encourage you to look out for people in pain in your community,
yep,
and take care of them.
Yep. Compassion truly responds to pain, like you have said, Eddie. That's very powerful. The other thing I see in this story, Eddie, is that compassion not only responds to pain, but also goes the extra mile.
Wow.
It goes the extra mile. What did this Good Samaritan do? He stopped, went down, did care for the pain of this man that was hit by robbers, but then he didn't stop there. This man couldn't walk. He picked up this man, put him on his donkey, went the extra mile of taking him to a safe place, paid for the safe place, and even paid for the treatment.
Wow.
And he didn't stop there. He said, I'm going to pass by. He followed up. He went the extra mile, wow, to make sure that this man was doing great. You know what I get from that, Eddie? That compassion is not about handouts.
That's right.
It's about giving a hand up.
Wow.
When God called us to plant a church in Gulu, and I remember Marilyn particularly went up and met with some of the district leaders in Gulu. And so she said to them, we were wanting to come as Watoto, plant a church, and be involved in the healing of Gulu town, which was just coming out of the LRA war. And one of the leaders turned to Marilyn and said, I hope you're not going to be like all these other organizations that come here, give us blankets and sweets, take pictures, and they are gone. Because compassion is not about handouts.
Wow.
And we said, no, we are actually coming to be a part of the community. We are going to establish a church and be part of the life in Gulu. Because compassion goes the extra mile. What do we do with the vulnerable children and orphans that God gives into our hands? We don't just rescue them from difficulty, from pain, like you said, but we take the extra mile of raising them to be leaders. We give them the best food that they could get, offer them a great housing. We put them in families, like you said. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, we give them the best education that they could ever afford. Why? So that they become great leaders that would transform our nation. We go the extra mile. It's not just about food and clothes. Mm. What do we do with the women that God allows us to reach out to? We do this through Watoto Neighborhood. We embrace them, tell them they are loved.
Wow.
But we go the extra mile. We empower them, train them literacy skills. We find out their giftings and train them to do things with their hands so that they can begin to be productive themselves. Mm. And then we engage with them. I think of the story of two ladies, Resty and Justine, who are in Bunga, one of the communities here, who came through Watoto Neighborhood, and they received this love, this compassion. But guess what? Today, they are extending that compassion right in their communities. They're caring for 60 other women.
Wow.
That's amazing. Because you know what? Compassion goes the extra mile. You said it. We do it through our small groups. They get from their pockets to care for community. Biblical compassion, my friends, changes lives.
That's right.
And it's a culture we need to embrace as society. We shouldn't just do things as random acts of compassion just to ease our conscience that we've done something. No, we gotta commit to see that the people we care for actually have their dignity restored, actually become productive people, because compassion goes the extra mile. So a culture of compassion is a way of life that changes community.
Wow. That is so awesome. Now, we've said two things so far, that compassion responds to pain. Secondly, compassion goes the extra mile to help. And lastly, compassion will be rewarded.
Absolutely.
Both in this life and in eternity. Now, we don't practice compassion to be rewarded, But it's inevitable. Whenever you are compassionate, God will reward you, because when you are compassionate, you are sowing seeds of love and they become fruitful at the end of the day. You will be rewarded. And Matthew 25 illustrates this principle of compassion being rewarded. In Matthew 25, 34, and this is what Matthew says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.'" Then the righteous, those who are compassionate in this life, will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or in need of clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and we came and visited you?" Then verse 40, the king will reply, "Truly, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did to me."
Come on.
So every time we sow a seed of compassion in a life that is in pain, we are actually doing it to Jesus.
Definitely.
And he will reward us in this life and in eternity. And I don't know about you, but I'm so excited every time I see one of our boys and girls growing up, becoming a productive citizen and a responsible Christian. I'm reminded of Little Fred. I call him Little because I remembered him as a little boy. I traveled with him on choir 13 in 2004 in North America. And he used to say, "When I grow up, I want to be a pilot." Not really a pilot. He wanted to become a pilot.
Right.
Today, Fred has graduated as a pilot.
Come on.
He is a responsible Christian and productive citizen. And then choir 17, I think, we traveled to Australia, Asia, and New Zealand. There was a young man called Fred Erisata. He loved football a lot. We used to play football, and he was Uncle Fred. We used to call him Uncle Fred, Uncle Fred. And he wanted to become a lawyer. Today, Fred is one of the lawyers in our city in Kampala. He is a responsible Christian and productive citizen.
Yeah.
And we, as Watoto, we are saying we are receiving the rewards of compassion in this life. But remember this, my friend, you will be rewarded for your compassion in eternity by Jesus himself.
Amen.
But the greatest act of compassion was demonstrated by God our Father. And God our Father can never ask us to do something he's never done. And we can never outgive God. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were enemies, he sent Jesus to die for us. You see, friends, Jesus lived a life we should have lived, and he died a death we should have died. And today, my brother, my sister, wherever you are, Jesus is calling you to himself. He has already paid the penalty for your sin, and he wants you to come back home. Come back into the arms of your Creator, your Father. He loves you so much. I want to pray for you because I know you need to come to Jesus and receive forgiveness and salvation. Now, if you believe in your heart that you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer right now, wherever you are. Say, "Lord Jesus, today I invite you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I choose to follow you every day of my life. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Amen. Amen." If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you are a child of God. Welcome to the family of God. And we would love to connect with you. Please click the link on the message section below, because we want to get in touch with you. Now, if you're watching online, or you're listening in on air, or watching on TV, you can also write to us on this email, connect@watotochurch.com, and one of us will make sure we get in touch with you, because we want to make sure that you are part of God's family. Welcome once again.
Wow, that was awesome, Eddie. I also add to the welcome and say, hey, you are now a part of the family of God. Congratulations. And I want to challenge the rest of us. Let's embrace this biblical culture of compassion. Compassion changes lives.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@fortodochurch.com.